Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to What Women Want with Amy Annette.
Welcome to my crossover episode with Nobody Panic. Can you call it a crossover if they've been on your podcast but you haven't been on theirs? Hey guys, call me. Today, I'm sharing a conversation that I had with Stevie Martin and Tessa Coates. So chic, so gorgeous. Two-thirds of the acclaimed sketch group Massive Dad, writers, performers, girls with lovely hair. They're the sort of women I want to be platforming. We actually had this conversation, you're never going to guess this, quite a long time ago. I believe we talk about marriage briefly, and Tessa is now engaged, and Stevie's married. Only me, ringless. I just love Stevie and Tessa. They help so many people with the ways that they demystify all the different ways we are expected to be adults, but no one quite explains us how to do it. I truly think the word adulting is for those that hate themselves, but I love the podcast. I was interested to get their take to see what they thought adulting meant in terms of feminism. So join me now as we record live at the Bill Murray in London's Angel. What Women Want is to be an adult with Stevie Martin and Tessa Coates.
And we're here live at the Bill Murray. Pop your mic to your mouth.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello everyone.
Aggressive.
You were just very authoritative.
No, thank you. No, it's good to get feedback.
Great.
You're like, pick your mic up. Come on, pick your mic up.
This show was a live show. I mean, it still is a live show. There are people here. Hello. And in fact, I think it's really... So this is a recording session with an audience because it started as a live show and people kept calling it a podcast.
Did they?
Yeah, without it ever being a podcast. And I think it's because people don't have unrecorded conversations anymore.
This is true. And now you've done it. You've turned it into a podcast.
Yeah, I've completely capitulated.
Yeah, you sold out. But in a good way.
Great way. Yeah. For me. Yeah. So What Women Want, for those of you who don't know, is a podcast where we look at misconceptions, misadventures, and mystique around what women want. What women want is too adult.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely. Subheading, not a girl. Not the other one.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So strong.
Great song.
A lot of power and emotion as well in that song.
I think it's really interesting. Often the sort of accusation that feminism is an attack or at least a rejection of adulthood. Mm-hmm. If you quantify adulthood as being a mother or the traditional versions of what a woman looks like when she's in stages of adulthood, this is not even taking into context non-binary people, then there's a whole conversation about whether feminism attacks the very nature of what it is to be an adult woman.
Does it? As in, yes, I completely... Do I agree? I don't know, because I get very frightened about things like that, because I'm like, what does that mean that feminism is saying that if you're a woman and a mother, that's... Is feminism rejecting you being...
Well, is that it's sort of taking down the traditional structures, and the traditional structure is that there's a certain type of adult woman.
Yeah,
and
like then a housewife.
Exactly.
People are very mean and snidey about... Like, there was a girl in my friendship group at uni who wanted to be a housewife. And everyone was like... It was like, it's just as valid as I wanting to do anything else. Like, it shouldn't be so like, oh, yeah. You're wrong, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, yes.
But that's really interesting because you can make choices as a woman that are the right choice for you, but not a feminist choice.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, your choices aren't necessarily feminist because you're a woman when you make them. That's a thing called choice theory. And there's a lot of conversation
so
about
clever.
That. No. I just read a lot of articles.
So do I, but I think I'm reading the wrong article. About like dogs that are in dinghies, isn't it?
Are they all right?
No.
Oh. I'm out. So very interesting thing that was like, rather than discussion being about like, can it be feminist to take your husband's last name or whatever? Mm. It's like, that's not the discussion. It's like, you can personally be a feminist and do not make non-feminist choices. Like, yeah. Taking your husband's last name is categorically not a feminist choice, but you can do it and still consider yourself to be a feminist. Not every single one of those choices has to, you just have to understand to be like, I'm a feminist and I'm doing something that is inherently not feminist and I don't have to make a reason now to be
yeah,
like,
and sometimes it's important still. To make that distinction.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get yourself in a, you could either get yourself in a bit of a mess by doing them because they were the right thing to
just
do,
because it's
rather than that was a choice I wanted to make.
When you start talking about adulthood, often what you feel like you're talking about is what you should do, not what you want to do. I think we all think of adulthood as this sort of box that you either fit into or you don't. But I feel like with your podcast, you very much talk about how you will often fall short of what you think is adulthood. But not only are you not alone in doing that, that is the correct way to be.
Well, that's like an I feel like in the last sort of 10 years, I mean, maybe my years are off slightly, but you know when EXO Jane started the whole, like, it happened to me, and, like, you could write online, and, like, Refinery29 do it as well, like, things where it became normal to respond against that glossy magazine. I wake up at 6 a.m, I squeeze a green juice with my ass, and then I go to yoga. And you're like, how no one does, I mean, we, like, weren't relating.
And I think also it's to do a lot with how what success is, the definition of success. So often, it's success is defined by the norm, and the norm is straight white men who are, you know, have versions of success that are based on traditional patriarchal experiences. So, just to sort of sum up my response before we come to YouTube, what I felt was, is adulthood then a reality check on your dreams, or is it a moment of freedom? I think you guys sort of talk about the reality of adulthood and how often people fall short of it. And so then from that platform, from that point of the story, what should be the positive next step? So if we establish that adulthood is a fallacy, fine. And increasingly it is with the financial crisis, meaning that people don't move out of the house, you know, just the normal traditional standards of what adulthood looks like are slightly falling apart in front of our eyes, even though I still feel like the only aspiration that you're really allowed to have is to own a house.
Yeah, that still feels like okay, doesn't it?
But why, but like that's such a, such a clever capitalist trap to make your one dream to be own a house. Make sure that dream is impossible.
So hard, yeah.
I want us to talk about our own experiences, but I've known you since 2010,
Yeah.
Have similar cadences. We could fall into the trap of talking about our own experiences as if it's the only experience.
Of course, yeah, which it definitely is not.
Which it's not. And so, and I don't say that as like a sort of warning of negativity, but more that I think it's really interesting, even with feminism, people often either make it just like totally personal or totally universal.
Yeah.
And there has to be a space.
It's really hard not to, because you just talk about yourself, because that's all you know. But yeah.
So, Stevie, when you heard the topic, what women want is too adult.
Yes.
Did you, so for example, the things personally that I thought about was I have such a block on finances. I think I know how much money I have, please. But I don't, like, and so that's something that I'm like, well, I'll just figure that out. And so that's for me, adulthood, something that I'm missing. What about you? Anything you responded to on that?
I thought about, apart from the fact that how I treat adulthood, depending on who I'm talking to, which I thought was weird. And it was only because I realised that when I was talking to my boyfriend's friends who were talking about football, they'd immediately just not talk to me. They just suddenly would stop looking at me. So then I'd have to, like, a real well-placed thing to say. Or when, like, the boiler man comes around, I Google, like, some words and just say, like, stop tap, like, a lot, which is to do with gas. So things like that. Yeah. Like, well, I know that I haven't bled the old boobly gang.
Yeah. You know, the boobly gang. The
thank
the
you. I'm so sorry. I call it a boobly gang. Okay. I don't know what I was Googling. And it was very late. And I was
Michael
tired.
Boobly.
My husband. His new album. A boobly gang. Yeah. He collaborates.
The new rap pack.
But I like to, but I don't know what I'm talking about. And I feel very defensive that I'm not as good an adult as a lot of my male friends, because they And it's just different forms of knowledge. Like, they just know more about some stuff that I don't care about. And I, for some reason, put myself immediately second. I'm like, well, the things that I care about are crap, but their things are, they're adult things. But the thing that I overwhelmingly thought about was, like, what does it mean? What is adulthood? And, like, what does it mean to be an adult? And, I mean, I tried to think of the most, like, yeah, I probably went too universal with it, but I thought, like, the idea that is almost cliched about how, you know, when you're 30, your parents have already had 17 children and they've got a career and now it's all different and we all kind of know that. But I thought that being an adult, we could, like, redefine it. Not we could, but in society. You could redefine it to be just, like, a time where if you've, like, successfully become an adult, whatever age that is, it's where you just feel like you are more in control of your life than you were previously. Because throughout people's 20s, I think, or earlier years, you are often just thrashing about, not sure what you're doing. And that kind of applies to a lot of people. And then adulthood comes slowly. But then there's a point, I think, in a lot of people's lives where they start to feel a little bit more able to not take so much shit that you don't care about. And to be able to be a little bit more like, this is me, and accept things. Basically, acceptance. Adulthood is maybe accepting things and being more content and knowing yourself better, which I thought was kind of nice. I have a bit of a problem sometimes, even though obviously we do it on the podcast and being like, women maybe can go too much one way, like, I'm shit, I'm crap at everything. And actually, we're not crap at everything. So that's why with our podcast, we want to do like a good thing we did that's an adult thing, rather than like, here's a crap thing that I can't do because I'm a crap adult.
Yeah.
Because actually, we're all good adults. We just often, we're just not perfect adults. And I think that's a very difficult thing for a lot of people.
I think the sort of the language of self-deprecation is one that a lot of women know.
Yeah, like, it's helpful.
Yeah, self-deprecation is one that everyone responds to, that we universally accept and we like, and we're immediately in, and that is a space that everybody knows and can talk about. And people can talk about, like, a bad experience or a bad day or, like, a terrible day or an embarrassing thing they said or something.
And it brings everyone down to, like, the same level. Not down or up, just it brings everyone
but
at a
very
level.
Very British, can relate to, I think. And the eloquence with which people can speak about that in comparison to someone being asked, like, tell us about a positive thing that happened. You'd be like,
oh!
Nothing. In a way that America, you're absolutely right, it is a very British thing. If you said, like, oh, shit, to join America, they'd be like, well, why are you here? Like,
Are you? Okay, I'll leave.
I'll leave. I'll literally leave this conversation.
Yeah.
Like, why would they hang out with you if you are, you're literally told this?
Yes.
That's right.
So, Tessa, please respond to the
question. I thought with that thing you're saying about the, like, sort of capitalist being tricked into the house thing is such a, not into your house, tricking the capitalist in, but, like, the tricking into believing that all we should want to do is buy a house.
Mm.
As soon as you said that, I was like, no, they got me. Because, like, that is the thing that is currently sort of the thing that I can't come back to constantly. Okay, I should sort of rethink everything because we're buying we've all got to buy a house. And because it is everywhere, you can't open the newspaper or a magazine or Twitter without seeing, like, some, like, new expose about, like, the housing crisis or this or that. And I heard thing interesting thing about, like, people, like, with millennials and, like, spending more money on experiences and, like, wanting to be members of, like, clubs and wanting to be in, go to nice things and have nice stuff.
It's one of those things. I mean, when you look at marriage, for example, mm-hmm. like, Greek people obviously, guys, people still get married today. Newsflash.
What?
Yes, I'm here to tell you. It's happening. Not in front of our eyes, but it's happening.
Go with it.
We're all on board, thank you.
Yeah.
People obviously still get married, but there's often questions people have about what does marriage mean nowadays? Mm-hmm. I'm not trying right now, anyway, to take down the institution of marriage.
For another podcast.
Yeah.
Another time.
I'll be watching.
If I may, last Christmas I went to an engagement party in a house. So a couple were engaged, and I went to the engagement party that was in someone else's house, but they were also engaged and they also owned the house.
Gosh.
And a lot of people at the house party were engaged, and there was saran wrap on the stairs. Like,
what's saran wrap?
To, like, protect the stairs.
Yeah.
Saran wrap is cling film.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Cling film is
when North American.
Just I'm trying to throw in that she's not North American.
Sorry. Oh, that's what my dad calls it. There we go. Okay. Yeah. Just put your hand down. There was a carpet projector on the stairs, which just to me, I was like, I just remember staring at it and being like,
why?
What's that? Because it wasn't new. It wasn't like they just moved in. It was still there. They had put it on
for the party.
And I
take it back. There is adulthood, and it doesn't. And that's it.
That's it. Yeah,
you're cling filming your own stairs at a party.
Cling film the stairs at a party in a way that, like, we would all go to parties and be like, well, the stairs are ruined, and then you'd be like, I don't know, like, and your stairs would be ruined forever. Yeah, like, you would never think
you move out of the house.
You move out the house. Yeah. Your landlord deals within a year. Like you like, I guess that's coming off the deposit. I don't know. And then you whatever. Anyway, I know people who like. But whatever, not the point. We used to have a carpet that was burnt because someone had put their pants straight from the cooker onto the floor.
Well, you.
Yes, it was me. And then we're like, well, that's them. Anyway, so there was carpet protector on the stairs, and everyone was engaged. And then I talked to this one boy who I sort of knew from university, but hadn't seen him in years. And I was suddenly like, oh, I think he fancies me. And I was feeling like, oh, puff, puff, puff. And then next minute he's telling me about how he proposed on a volcano.
Oh, God. So he was just being polite and paying attention to
you. Yeah, so in my head, flirting, but it was just a conversation.
Just talking. We're flirting a lot with Tess.
Yeah, and like, they really want to be too much on this. And I just, at this party, like, went upstairs and had a bit, sort of sat at the top of the stairs and, like, had a bit of a moment of, like, oh, my God. And I felt like I am not a... as you know, party girl or drug taker. But I suddenly was like, I'll just go and find an orgy or something. I just felt like this huge sense of rebellion of like, I just don't want to be at this. I want to be like, just let's go and live. Let's go and do anything that's
isn't
not
that though, here. Because that the idea of adulthood is outdated in general. Like we don't have, it's not a bad thing that it's outdated. And everything about it that we've tried to kind of keep hold of is kind of harming us. Like it just means that like, if you're not married at the time when you're supposed to be, that means you're not an adult. And if you don't cling wrap, you don't wrap on your stairs.
I totally agree. And with marriage, I always bring it up because people don't know what to do with it. They still feel confused. They don't know what the solution is. Like, should they do it? Should they take the name? Like, is there, why are they doing it? But actually, my main note on that is like, don't worry so much because it is so recent. That people don't expect you to get married when you get to a certain age. It's so recent.
But yeah,
people who are getting married at this age or who are doing all those things should equally be like, should not be made to be like, people who do want to get married and do or are getting married shouldn't be made to feel like, oh, am I not part of the group?
Cool group. Oh, I don't want to get married.
And yeah, like, I totally disagree with you. They should feel very organized.
No, wow, get them down.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, there should be a group who are like, hey, I still want to be included and part of this, but yeah. I also, I'm in love with this person. I really care about my bathroom tiles and I want to talk about them.
So we're both we're all searching for an answer.
And I think if I could just switch off the bit, if we could all switch off the bit about the house and switch off the bits that are panicking, then we could be like, rather than being like, I should, be like, oh, what can I do now?
I want to talk about the body. There's so many conversations about what a perfect body looks like, all of those things. Mm-hmm. Because for my mind, an older female body is something people don't want to see.
They are terrified of. It makes me so frightened and sad and defensive and angry whenever anyone ever, like, mentions anything about age in a woman being negative. We're shown images of how gross women are when they're over 35. To my friend being like, she's 32 and she's now only being put up for, like, old cantankerous mother, or like, come back here, woman. Like, I find it so... But of course, the whole thing about just growing older and having more parts, that's like such a small level of it. But it is still, we're still telling women that when they become adults, that's bad. Like, that's why you should always be like around 24. Like, be like really well read, but you're like 24. You can't be an adult, because it's gross. Because the actual true adulthood, which is when all women that are older in my family said that they had a horrible time in their 20s, sort of like we're all right in their 30s, and once they hit 40 they're like, right, I'm here, I can say some things.
Yeah.
Like, but then at that point they had this horrible thing where suddenly they felt less represented when watching stuff, marginalized, less attractive, because the world was telling them that they were unattractive because they were an adult woman and not a young woman.
I was going to say, I, in listening to you then, came like full circle on my own opinions. Because again, I'm like, yeah, I see you, but like, I am having my own personal thing. I've made my own personal choice here. Mm. And then I was like, oh no, I haven't. I haven't at all. I've made it based on
for
this
me,
information.
For me, feminism, sorry, I've interrupted you.
No, please don't worry, but I will carry on. I think that a lot of it is that you don't you never truly, it takes a lot of unpicking and unpacking to be like, oh wow, like where did that idea come from? I think we deal with a lot of things on a very like surface level, and actually like, oh my goodness, this idea has been here literally since I could see, and everything you see is like, you've got this many years
and
then your womb runs out and then your body runs out and you're no good to the men anymore, and like that is such a,
and the men find a younger thing.
Yeah,
but you're super clever and women are very clever, and people who everyone's bloody clever, so you managed to make it something that you thought, right? Like,
yeah.
Such a clever trick, because you're right, you go, well, listen, I get it, like, if there's only ads for anti-aging cream at some point, I'm probably gonna think I need it. You can see that that's a thing that's been told of you, but you don't think, you also have a second thought, you're like, but my skin is wrinkly.
Yeah.
And that is a problem.
Yeah.
And so you're like, well, no, there's a set. It's like every good manipulation is based in a kernel of truth, right?
Yeah.
So the truth
absolutely.
Is that you have a wrinkle. The lie is that that's a bad thing. So you double down on someone's. So you go,
yeah.
I think wrinkles are really horrible. And you're like, I guess I never really thought about it before, but I do have wrinkles. So how would I know? You know, I think feminism for me has been a sort of a life raft in that regard, because it allows you literally this space to breathe, to be like, is this me, Amy, who is the problem? Or is it when I feel attacked by something, is it actually, do they really know it's me they're attacking?
Mm-hmm.
But actually, is it just a sort of general thing? Mm-hmm. And so if that's the case, is there a space in which I can find myself aside from that?
Yeah.
Can I take a moment to see that it's not me with all my sort of clever, weird, horrible thoughts,
mm-hmm.
that is under attack here, is the woman aspect of me.
Yeah.
But I'm clever enough to make it a personal, human, internalized thing.
Yeah, and actually when you unpack it, you're like, oh no, not at all. So little is an actual true thought. Everything is just some secondhand information that you've internalized and then come up with that and thought it was your own thought, but it wasn't yours. It came from somewhere else. We, as humanity, I've recently learned the expression drinking the Kool-Aid, and I'm really on board with
again,
it.
Again, very American.
I like it though, keep going.
Thanks. It's about I won't tell you
what Kool-Aid.
It was about a suicide pact in the 70s. Like
wow, I did not expect that.
No, I know, right?
Okay,
it means like everyone in the group is just agreeing that we're all doing this thing that is actually a bit weird.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, but like,
oh, that's
yeah, so it's like, it's about being like, yeah, so it's like like they followed a sort of messiah character in the desert and they all committed suicide, but they mixed it with Kool-Aid so it tasted yummy. I mean, mad thing to do. So the expression,
you gotta mix it with something.
You gotta get your mixer in.
So sorry, too much levity at a weird time.
Well, they shouldn't have done it, like, you know.
Yeah.
And
anyway, just no time for the people.
No time for it, quite frankly. I'd have given them my 2 pence worth. Anyway, the expression drinking the Kool-Aid is like, we're all doing this mad thing.
Yeah.
And I think that humanity, we are doing a really good job of drinking the Kool-Aid. Like, we are just all on board with, we just are not questioning anywhere near enough stuff.
So I think that's a lot of like insidious ones that we don't notice on a day-to-day, but for both men and women.
So talking about insidiousness, and as we come to the end, I wanted to briefly touch upon language, which was an interesting thing. I briefly wanted to ask you, do you mind being called girls?
I have a problem with the amount of, so like, there's not like, so you know when you say So there's a man, a boy, and there's a guy. And a guy can be anything. Where there's a girl, a woman.
Lady?
Nah. I just don't think, like, a lady. So that sounds like
we
a
dog. We are not in English language. We lack a informal collective.
So I call everyone guys. Yeah. I've decided to make that non-gendered.
I think that's increasingly what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I personally don't... I think the sound of the word girls as a... purely as a linguistic shape is nice, like I don't mind it. And so on a personal level, I don't mind the word girls. However, I absolutely understand the argument. And if somebody is like has been like, nope, you gotta get on board with my truck, I'd be like, okay, I'll get on the truck then. Like
what? You want to be on a truck, but you like the sound of the word girls.
I personally don't have an issue with the word girls.
But you love trucks.
Love trucks.
Love trucks.
Oh, can't stop no.
I don't mind the word girls, like I don't mind being called a girl. That's my personal standpoint on that. And also I think the sound, unlike the word lady, I think the sound
lady's a bit like
yeah, it has like connotation, but also like as a sound, I don't mind the word girls. However, if it. Somebody is sorry, putting their foot down and being like, sorry. You gotta listen, and you gotta. I am so aware of how I do that to other people when they're like, I don't think this is an issue. And I'm like, it is.
Yeah.
Get on board. That if somebody else then did that to me, I would be like, okay.
So it's not like a good argument about why girls
yeah.
is probably
so
not
I understand the argument, and if somebody said, you know, really argued it to me, I would be like, all right. All
my
right,
my
I'll
feeling
get on board with your idea.
I think I'd very rarely be called girl. I think that's quite unusual.
Yeah.
The thing that the phrase that I hear at work is girls as a way of describing. A group of women, if there's any man in that group, it becomes
oh,
a different
sorry, can I change my point of view?
Yeah,
like, absolutely hate it.
So, like, when we get
hearing it truly.
Yeah,
when
you would get
like, oh, where are the girls?
When we get emails, everyone always says, like, send us to the Mass of Dad account, everyone goes, hi girls, hi ladies, hey girls, hey female comedians. And then when I absolutely know for a fact that my ex-boyfriend was in a sketch group and they had an email address, then you go, hi boys, it'd be like, hey,
yeah.
Hey the names, or hey guys, or hey, and it's just, it's a real, it's I think it's annoying, but I don't think it's as bad as, for example, things like female comedian, or
sure.
like, you know, like a female pilot, and you're like, she's a pilot!
Yeah,
like
yeah.
that sort of thing.
No, but she does fly with her boobies.
Oh, right. Well,
so
in that case,
she's
an amazing pilot.
That.
She's not a female pilot. She's a genius.
Briefly, we also lack a word for your front bottom. And
vagina.
Vagina. See, it's so ugly. And I briefly wanted to start a campaign.
Fast.
No. I started trying to start a campaign. There isn't one. There isn't a good one. Whereas there's like a plethora of good ones for
women.
Oh, yeah. And wang. You know, everything's good for
yeah.
women. Everything. And they're all
good names.
But like,
yeah.
I tried to start a campaign that we chose one of the... you could choose your own storage box from IKEA, and then whatever the word was, the Swedish IKEA
oh,
word,
that's
that
a,
was your word.
What was yours? What did you go for?
No, I you have to see them written down. It's a very...
Oh.
It won't work on this podcast.
I'm glad you brought it up.
Thank you. Because they're all things like... my kind of thing of one, Skarsgård, you know?
Ooh.
Yeah.
This is what I think is really interesting, so although I think the word in itself, like manspreading, mansplaining, it's what it is, but people who I would say in the past would find it really difficult to understand what mansplaining is, now can,
yeah.
because it's been quantified and given a term,
mm.
like he peed it, sounds like something
yeah.
like a fart or something to me, but
yeah.
I love
he
it.
Did.
You don't have to like the word to understand that quantifying something and making it so much, I think, of like female experience has been unquantified,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, and like
yeah.
considered domestic and personal.
I think like gaslighting as well, like
yeah.
we didn't have a word for that until someone was
yeah,
like,
and I think it becoming
fine.
A yeah,
yeah
and
yeah,
it's only
yeah.
in the last couple of years that like mansplaining, or in the space of a very short amount of time, that someone like yeah, we all know what mansplaining is, absolutely no bother, and it can be used then
yeah.
in a jokey way to talk about a very real issue with somebody, and you'd be like, you're really mansplaining, or somebody, I'm sorry, I was mansplaining, and we could
yeah.
all talk about that,
yeah.
and so I think. With just giving, having the right terminology to discuss those sort of things.
And also understanding that when people refer to you or talk about things that in your life and use a word that you don't like, the feeling inside where you're like, I'd like to challenge that, isn't a small, insignificant thing. What I would love to do is ask you two to consider, so the £10 note has come out, Jane Austen's on it.
Oh, yeah.
Fun aside, did you know that the quote that they've put at the bottom is not something that she said, it's one of something her character says, and it's something like, I do declare there's nothing I like better than the joy of reading. Now, I must tell you, I saw a £10 note recently. It's not exactly the quote, but I won't learn it.
Sure.
I won't learn what it actually
sure,
is,
not,
but it's something along those lines. And it's actually something a character says in one of her books, who is a basic bitch. That is the quote that is under Jane Austen's picture on the £10 note.
So she'll be ever so cross.
She'll be furious.
Yeah.
Someone should let her know. No, I would like you two to consider who you'd put
instead.
So they took Elizabeth Fry off the notes, and then that made everyone be like, well, now there's no women on the notes. And then that's when Caroline Criado Perez did a campaign to put a woman on the note, to which she got horrible death threats, etc.
Why would she be so bothered about that? You know what I mean? Like,
because people understand that things like money and representation are really powerful.
And to not, so they're angry that we've got one woman across the notes.
Yeah.
Such a fascinating thing, and you probably saw it as well, because we share a Twitter, apparently.
I won't jump in.
You can if you like. It was just such a tiny sidebar about, like, the death threats that this woman receives when she pipes. It's not, and it was about how when publicly, and this is not obviously not a conscious thing that, like, the men have bandied together and decided to do, but it is like a subconscious thing that happened. The quote was that you don't burn the witches to burn a witch; you burn them to make the women who are forced to watch see what happens. Wow. That, like, we do it so you're like, oh shit, for everyone else who's watching. It's like, I'm not going to put myself through that. Like, oh, this is, so you get it in your head when you start a campaign to put a woman on a £5 note, rather than getting on Blue Peter, which is where you should obviously be, and be like, lovely, good for you, like, a lovely campaign for the country.
Yeah.
You receive death threats, and so that is what gets in our psyche, so you're like, oh yeah, that's what happens when a woman speaks up.
Mary Beard did a really interesting article about the language associated with women taking power, mm-hmm. and it's always things like, one of her examples was bursting the citadel, which, to be fair, I've never heard before.
Okay.
But it's always things like women are storming. Like, there was one thing where there was a woman bursting through the door, breaking the glass ceiling.
Yeah.
It's all words that make you see it as something that wasn't meant to be, that took force to get there.
Yeah.
So it's not like assumed
walking into the glass
power.
Ceiling and waving.
Yeah, it's like, even small things like...
it's not dismantling the
glass. You're in the box.
No, not even dismantling. It's just like, did the thing that is normal for her to do because she was the most experienced and right person for the job.
Yeah. Yes, you're absolutely right. It's not just like, oh, this thing happened.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa.
There's action, there's force, and it's not a natural thing.
And it's not.
It's hard to do, I suppose. The devil's advocate thing is, it is just quite descriptive, often, because we've been subjugated for so long that... It does take a lot of force.
I actually wanted to ask the crowd while you thought about this. Can anyone guess what year the word single replaced the word spinster in the history section of the marriage certificate? So when you're getting married, if you hadn't been married before, you used to write spinster instead of single. Can anyone guess what year that might be? 75? More modern.
1990?
More modern.
What?
2013.
Less modern.
97?
More modern.
2005.
I'm going to give it to you because it was 2004.
Yes.
We're cheering, but it's very sad. Yeah. It was with the Equal Partnership Act of 2004. It changed from spinster to single.
Spinster.
Just another way in which you are quantified by your relationship
language,
with men.
But also the
language.
Use of language.
Yeah.
The spinster is the opposite of a bachelor. And, like, bachelor's a great word.
Bachelor's a lot of fun. Yeah. Yeah. I'd bloody love to be a bachelor.
Yeah,
but
you don't call
as a lady,
that TV show.
You can't be a bachelor.
Spinster,
what are you? A bachelorette.
A bachelorette, yeah.
Mm. You're not a lad, you're a ladette.
Mm. Are we thinking of who we put on our £10 note?
Yes, please.
I don't know who I want, but I probably do want someone who isn't, like, upper class.
Yeah.
And, not Jay Goody at all, but, like, someone who represents more than just the, you know, literati crowd.
That's a very good point.
Thank you.
Yes,
her or Joe from High School 7, and I realised she was racist as well. I remember. Yeah, she was.
What you pointed out is that in terms of in cultural significance, working class women are there's basically no representation. Did anyone else got someone they'd love to put on there?
Oh, mine was Boudicca.
And on that note, thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much to you, Jessica Coates and Stevie Martin. Thing what I say. Thank you very much to the audience here at the Bill Murray.
Woo! You've been absolutely lovely. I could talk about this all day.
Well, let's turn off the recorder and get real.
Yeah.
Get real.
Great one, Amy.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Play the music, Simon.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. And thank you for listening to these gorgeous credits. I won't slip into the French accent that I thought I might there, because I don't want to alienate you, my gorgeous French listeners. But bonsoir, bonjour, or bonjourné. I must give thanks to Zachary Annette and Anahita Akhravan, who are currently hosting me in their gorgeous apartment in Toronto. I'm standing in their closet, and they're absolutely fine with that. I also give a massive thanks to Emma Corsham, who helped me get this podcast running, and Zachary Annette, who has been central to everything. Music is by The Artisans via Jamendo Publishing, and we thank them for their jaunty vibes. I've been Amy Annette, and I wish you adieu. Adieu, Amy, Amy.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.